none of which we know. The Betatron can produce very many unusual particles. We can make positive electrons. You're familiar with negative electrons. They're the stable ones which occur in all matter. But we can make positive electrons and study the behavior of these positive electrons. This turns up new facts. We can also create mesons, which are heavy electrons. Well, not exactly electrons, but heavy particles. These particles were first seen in cosmic rays. Now we can create them in the laboratory in a controlled way. This, too, brings up new facts. There are many kinds of mesons that have been discovered, and there may be more discovered in the near future. The Betatron and the other high-energy synchrotrons, which are all working around 300 and 340 million volts nowadays, are the instruments which produce these unusual particles. We also examine very high-energy processes which occur in atomic nuclei. Nuclei explode violently and disperse in all directions when they are struck by high-energy X-rays from the 340 million volt Betatron. Well, I can't be definite about the end use of these new facts that are being turned up, but someday, undoubtedly, they will become engineering, as have the facts learned earlier with the 22 million volt Betatron.
1940 slipped past. 1941 was not to go by unnoticed or unremembered. The Second World War brought additional changes on the Illinois campus. Fraternity houses were converted to barracks, and both Army and Navy training programs were in operation. On the Chicago Medical Campus, four faculty members developed a new and revolutionary formula for dentifrice. Today, the ammoniated dentifrice formula is used by 12 companies licensed by the University of Illinois Foundation. By VJ Day, almost 20,000 Illinois students and alumni had served their country in uniform. Peacetime enrollment increased rapidly. On the campus, as throughout the nation, housing was a primary problem. Newly appointed President George D. Stoddard organized a small homes council on the campus in 1944 to help Illinois citizens meet the shortage by building low-cost dwellings. Students, particularly veterans, were air-minded. In 1945, the university formed an Institute of Aviation and built an airport, one of the nation's largest educationally owned airports. 34 planes are available to students who wish to enroll in the many flight and aeronautical courses taught at Illinois. The Chicago Medical College recognized the need of dentists for postgraduate study. And for the thousands of dentists throughout the country, they developed a telephone series. Discussions and classes conducted by prominent members of the profession were transmitted by phone to listening groups all over the United States and Canada. Over 10,000 dentists in 250 cities are now enrolled in this postgraduate program. Dean Brody of the College of Medicine has this to say.
Already the 1951-52 program has been outlined, and the staff has begun its efforts to make that program as attractive and as helpful as its predecessors. When the telephone program was inaugurated last year, it was based on the conviction that there was a need for some broad postgraduate dental program. But there was no way of ascertaining the demand. The response by such a large number of dentists last year and the phenomenal increase in enrollment this year have amply demonstrated that the need is recognized by the profession.
The dentistry program isn't the only university work which has been made available to off-campus residents. About 5,000 people are enrolled in the correspondence courses being offered to anyone who wishes to take university coursework. An additional 8,000 are enrolled in non-credit courses and short courses and attend conferences on the campus. In this way, a bleak prairie campus has developed into the nation's fourth largest university. Its faculty and staff include almost 10,000 full and part-time workers, and enrollment on its three campuses numbers over 24,000. Students from all 102 Illinois counties, from all 48 states, and from many countries the world over. Some phase of the university is felt in every community. It may be the work of the agriculture or home economics extension divisions, or a clinic or workshop established by the music extension. Perhaps the Community Planning Bureau is offering help to your community in planning a park, or redesigning the business district or rerouting traffic. Maybe a club group has received a film from the Visual Aids Division. Or perhaps you yourself have received one of the many pamphlets and bulletins on research work published by the University Press. It's your taxes which make these programs and university research possible. Research which has more than paid for itself in dividends as well as in value to citizens of the state and nation. To conclude our birthday program, we've asked President George D. Stoddard to add his greetings to our broadcast. President Stoddard has brought many changes to the campus since his appointment in May of 1945 and is well aware of the important role of a land-grant college.
More than 30 years ago, a distinguished graduate of the university, Dr. Alan Nevins, began his volume on Illinois with the following statement. The University of Illinois, as a state university, is in large degree representative of the social character, the work, the culture, and the ambitions of the state. He then paid tribute to the founding fathers, and especially to Jonathan B. Turner, who had worked long and faithfully to bring to reality the idea of the land-grant college and the state university. It was Turner who said, "The end of all education should be the development of a true manhood, or the natural, proportionate, and healthful culture and growth of all the powers and faculties of the human being, physical, moral, and social." Jonathan Turner expounded these views in 1853, but they did not bear fruit in Illinois for 15 years. Turner's sights were high. In all these early critical days, the names of Turner, Morrill, Douglas, and Lincoln are intertwined. We know that Abraham Lincoln in 1860 at Decatur promised Jonathan Turner that if he were elected President of the United States, he would sign the bill for the state universities. Stephen A. Douglas made the same promise to Turner at Peoria. In fact, shortly thereafter, Douglas, then a senator, planned to introduce the measure at the next session of Congress. But he was dead before that time. So Justin Morrill of Vermont brought in such a bill, but his bill was not reported out of committee. It was left to Senator Benjamin F. Wade of Ohio successfully to see it through in 1862. Lincoln signed the measure on July 2nd. The people of Illinois, therefore, should have a special pride in the work of pioneers of the state who helped to make higher education available to all young people on a broad democratic basis. It is an eternal source of wonder to educators, historians, and statesmen that the difficult business of setting up and financing public higher education was accomplished during the blood-ridden days of the Civil War. There's a lesson in this for all of us, a lesson that should not be lost. A time of war, no less than a time of peace, is a time for the advancement of knowledge and for improving the opportunities of young people. When danger is upon us, and it is never far removed, we look to the able minds brought together in a spirit of free inquiry and of unlimited devotion to the academic ideal. The University of Illinois has come a long way from its humble beginnings and a long way, too, from the 1917 report of Professor Nevins. To quote again from Mr. Nevins, he said, "Many doubtless regarded Turner and his fellows as visionary when they tried to picture the fruits of the educational scheme that Douglas thought one of the grandest that had occurred to any man. Yet Turner himself, even had he known the university would pursue broader lines than those he had planned for it, would hardly have believed that in a half century some 800 men would be teaching in its 60 halls, that to it would be drawn 7,000 students yearly, trained in an elaborate school system to which the university contributed much, that its extension activities would reach to every community and would influence not merely the industrial callings, but most others in Illinois. None of the shortcomings or discouragements of the university can daunt it in the face of its history." Clearly, nothing has daunted the university. Over 30,000 students came to the university last year, representing every county in the state, all 48 states, and dozens of foreign countries. They came not to one campus, but to three. One of these, the Chicago Professional Colleges, operates the largest medical school in the United States and adds steadily to its high distinction in research and public service. Nearly 4,000 students come each fall to the undergraduate division at the Chicago Navy Pier, and up to 19,000 students have enrolled in a single fall term at the Urbana-Champaign campus. At the same time, the Extension Division and the College of Agriculture offer numerous programs that carry the opportunity for education and practical benefit to every corner of the state. Costly as the total enterprise is in terms of financial outlay, we who are familiar with it know that the University of Illinois is a tremendous cultural and social investment. It takes money from the state and pours it back year after year, decade after decade, in research benefits. It is responsible for the training and education of youth for numerous occupations and professions, and in the personal arts that characterize a liberal education. In this emergency period of preparedness, either to prevent war or to win a war, the place of the university is secure. We are related, as in the past, to the defense program of the nation in manpower, military training, research, and technological development. This great university and others like it are a number one resource of the people of the United States, a resource that not only makes us stronger in science, in agriculture, and in health, but also in those hard-to-measure qualities that affect the life of a free citizen in a free nation. So, let us join the university's great family of students, staff members, alumni, and friends once again on this 83rd occasion in wishing it a happy birthday. Nothing can shake our faith in Illinois. Nothing but an evil power, which we are determined to resist and beat back, can keep us from moving ahead in the cause of freedom.
This is your university celebrating its 83rd birthday, 83 years of research and service to the people of Illinois and the nation, and looking forward to many more important years of work in its role as a statewide campus. This has been a tape-recorded presentation of the University of Illinois Radio Service.